And thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate the singing and good singing. And appreciate again Patrick's testimony. I know this, at his age, I wouldn't have done that. Sometimes I still don't want to do it. But when you got a story to tell, we need to tell it. And so appreciate, you know, he said so many things that honestly I think we can all relate with. We all want this sense of belonging. We don't want to be outside of the group looking in, do we? The Bible tells us that we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that means that we have to have a different way of thinking about things. And so all of us want to be a part of a group. And I have a similar testimony as he does. Grew up in church. We were, like many of you, drug kids. We were drugged to church every time the doors were open, right? And so I grew up around kids, and they were worldly, and their parents had money, and they had parties, and, you know, the cool kids got to go, and the Christian kids didn't get to go, and went to Christian camp, and, you know, I thought, man, this is dumb, right? Fourth, fifth grade, and the girls have to sleep in these cabins, and the boys have to sleep in this cabins, and you couldn't swim at the same time, and you couldn't do anything. And I thought, this is the dumbest thing ever. I don't ever want to go back to Christian camp. But then as you continue to have the word,
yes, sir,
preached to you, and you realize that if we would develop an environment, right, where it was quote unquote cool to be a Christian. I don't mean worldly. I'm talking about the group, that it was the end thing to be a part of that group. It would change things. Now, I'm not saying you compromise. I'm not saying go worldly. I'm saying that we ought to promote the atmosphere as parents and as a church that this is the thing to do. Because let's be honest, everybody doesn't get the chance at 19 or 20 years old to give their life to Christ. Everybody doesn't have the opportunity when they're 31 years old to pastor a church. See, today's the day of salvation.
Amen.
And so if we're not promoting that in our homes and within the church, and they're saying, well, it's, you know, it's more fun, right? And again, parents, you got to be careful with all this. And you kiss her. Well, church is no fun. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to the youth activities because they're not as fun as going to this, and this. You know what you're telling them? If it don't feel good, don't do it.
That's right. Good.
Hello? Right? Sometimes you got to make them do the right thing because you say, well, they're kids and I don't want to force them to go to church. Well, you force them to go to school.
That's right.
You force them to eat their green beans.
Amen.
And so then they have this mindset. Their brain is not developed enough to make their own decisions. I mean, if you hadn't figured it out, when they hit about 12 years old, their brain quits working.
That's right.
And it starts rebuilding.
Yeah.
And for boys, it develops when they're about 40 years old, when girls about 30, right? And so you have to help them make the right decisions, parents, because if you leave them to their self, most of the time they'll make the wrong decision. Well, we raised them in church. Well, that doesn't mean a thing. There's a lot of people that are out of church. There's a lot of people dead and in hell. There's a lot of people out in the world today that were raised in church. Just because you bring them to church doesn't mean a whole lot, right? And so, well, you know, we might come on Wednesday night, might not, just according to how we feel. Well, take the same approach with work. You feel like going to work every day? No, but you go. They don't feel like going to school every day? Make them go, right? It's important. See, whenever we stop, Brother Bart, whenever we realize that this is not about popularity, it's not about your kid getting a good job and making a lot of money, we're talking about heaven or hell. We're talking about eternity. When they draw their last breath, if they've not received Christ as their Savior, you'll never see them again if you're a born-again Christian. Well, I don't want to force them. You can't force them to get saved, but you can force them to be under the preaching of the Word of God. You can force them to be around other Christian teenagers and not let them make a decision. Well, we're having a youth lock-in August 4th and 5th. Well, they just don't like going to that thing. You could say you don't have a choice. You are going. Well, then they'll hate church. They hate it anyway. Well, then they might run from God. They're running from God anyway. See, when you leave people that are not spiritually mature, that are not spiritually mature to do their own thing, they're going to do their own thing. They're going to let the flesh dictate what they want to do most of the time. And so I commend all you parents that drug your kids to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival. By the way, we got revival coming up. I'd drag them in there too. Well, but preacher, school's starting back. Well, if they won't go to football game on Thursday night, you'll let them go. So I would say that what we're facing is bigger than popularity. What we're facing is bigger than what kind of job. Listen, if you can't look at the headlines and realize that Jesus is coming back and probably coming very soon,
right.
If you can't figure that out, man, you got your head in the sand.
That's right. You're right.
And when He comes back, there won't be another opportunity.
Right.
There won't be left behind, and later on you'll have another. If you say no to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been given the gospel, you're not, when Jesus comes back or you draw your last breath, there's no second chance, right? Today's the day of salvation. So I'd say in light of eternity, having your kids in church, just like you said, Mom and Dad, keep doing it, right? They don't want to come. Who cares, right? They don't want to do right. Who cares? Make them do right. Well, what about when they grow up? Well, you know what? Then they have to decide.
That's right. That's right.
Then they'll have to give an account, right? There comes a time. Listen, I've said it and I'll say it. You can blame the church. You can blame your parents. You can blame hypocrisy. You can blame the TV preacher. You can blame whatever you want to. But there come a day when you'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, each one of us, and give an account for what you did.
Right?
And you can't blame anybody else. We live in a world where you can blame anybody for anything and it's not your fault. When you stand before the Lord Jesus, here's what's going to matter. One thing. Well, two things. Number one, what'd you do with Him? What'd you do with Him? Well, my good outweighs my bad. No. See, you're comparing yourself to the wrong person. Are you perfect? Well, nobody's perfect. He was. Compare yourself to Jesus. Then secondly, if you are born again, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to weigh, after you're saved, what you've done since you've been saved. And a lot of people think they've done all this for the Lord. It's going to be burned.
That's right. Amen.
So I'd say this. We need to give them every opportunity to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the good testimony of the song. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 20 and verse number 1. I want to share a thought. It's interesting the timing of God, isn't it? We live in a day where we're debating about rights. Who has the right to do this? Who has the right to say this? Is this speech misinformation? They got all kinds of misinformation. Now it's malinformation. I don't even know what kind of information they got. Right? It's all this. Well, do you have the right to your own body? Do you have the right to your own thoughts? Do you have the right to say what you want to say? And we're fighting about all these rights, about what we can do. Well, here's what I'd say. Most of the time when we're the ones talking about our rights, what we're doing is saying, I want to be selfish. I want to do what I want to do. And I don't want anybody to tell me what I can do. Right? So in Luke chapter 20, the Bible said it came to pass that on one of those days, as He taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. It's interesting to me, the gospel means good news. So you would think if He was preaching the gospel, people would love Jesus, wouldn't you? And the chief priests and the scribes came upon Him with the elders and spake unto Him, saying, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things. Now remember, he had just gone in the temple. He had overturned the money changers' tables. He got mad in church. Right? And so he upset religion. It's amazing how Jesus upsets religion. People say, are you religious? I'm not religious, not one bit. I'm not ceremonial. Brother Matt, I don't follow the dictates of sit up, stand up, sit down, turn around. And I've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I follow Him, and I'm saved, and I want to follow Him and do what the Bible tells me because I have a relationship, but not because I'm religious. See, this thing is real to me. And so he spake and said, tell us by what authority. Who gives you the right these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? Understand who they're talking to. If they said that to me, I'd have to say, well, the Bible gives me the authority. Jesus. But they're talking to the authority. They're talking to the Alpha and Omega. The one that created them. They're asking him, what gives you the authority to do what you did? You say, I don't understand how they could do that. We do the same thing. God, what gives you the authority to tell me how I should live my life? God, why do you have the authority to tell me how I should act, what I should think, what I should say, right? Why do you get to tell me what my rights are? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing. They said, we're going to ask this. Who gives you authority? He said, I ask you this. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. So here's my thought. Here's my question. You ready? Who gives you the right? Because that's all we hear today. I mean, it's you don't have the right to do this, and I've got the right to do this. And there's all this question about what rights we have. It probably going to come down to war, right? And even among believers, we want to stretch our freedom, really our selfishness, out to the point where nobody can say anything that we do is wrong. Nobody can tell us anything we say is wrong. I can live my life however I want to, and you don't have the authority to tell me what is wrong. Well, we saw that in the Old Testament. The Bible said they did what was right in their own eyes.
Right.
In other words, God, we don't care about your law. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it how I want to do it, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. The problem is, what we see in the Old Testament is God's judgment every time.
Right.
We see that here, God's judgment. And so the Lord is dealing with authority. And let's be honest, there's a romantic idea that we have about rebelling against authority in our flesh.
Yes.
Agree?
Right.
Even the fact is, some have tried to make Christianity a rebellious religion.
Right.
And they'll say things like, well, Jesus, I've said this many times, Jesus was the first rebel. No, he wasn't. See, he established the Word before religion ever got here. It was man's religion that rebelled against the Word of God, not the Word of God rebelling against man's religion. He is the authority. He is the standard. He's the Alpha and Omega. And so when we look at this Scripture, they're saying, who gives you the right to do what you want to? May I say that we were talking about this in Sunday school, even in the book of Job, chapter 38. Here's what Job and his friends were questioning, why God allowed all this stuff to go on in Job's life. And in chapter 38, God just got real plain with Job, like he probably needs to do with us, and says, where were you at when I formed everything? See, we're not co-equal with God in authority. You know, this ain't your life. If the Bible said if you're saved, if you're born again, as we sang about the blood and washing away our sins, if you're saved by the grace of God, you were bought with a price. You are not your own. And so why does God have the authority to do anything He does or ask us to do anything He wants me to do? So the question is, what right do you have to tell me this is wrong? That's really where we're at. So here's what's happened. Here's the progression. Several years ago, people started using this terminology. Well, I want to tell my truth. You've got your truth and you've got your truth. And so what we're saying is there's no truth. There's no the truth. There's your truth and your truth. Now, here's what I'm saying. Let's say Brother Shane got upset Brother Johnny and took a hammer and cracked him in the head with it. Now, the truth is he hit him with a hammer. Now, if we went, Brother Shane said, now, Brother Shane, give us your truth. Well, the truth is the hammer did it. I was just touching the hammer. But I don't think Brother Johnny should be upset that I hit him in the head because he looked at me wrong in church. And I go to Brother Johnny and said, Brother Johnny, tell me your truth. Well, my truth is that Brother Shane is an abuser and I think he should be kicked out of the church and somebody should hit him in the head with a hammer. I didn't deserve this. What is the truth? The truth is we get down to it, and Brother Johnny offended Brother Shane, and Brother Shane lost his temper and hits him in the head. Well, there's the truth.
Right.
See, you don't get your own truth.
That's right. You're right.
The Bible said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth is Jesus Christ. See, there's not many ways to get to heaven. There's one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So whenever we're able to skew or muddy the waters when it comes to truth, then everybody can have their own truth. You can say, well, I think I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, or because I'm a Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal, or because my dad was a preacher, or because I got baptized. You can have any truth you want to. But may I say this, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to get into heaven, the only thing that's going to matter is what you did with the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to realize that in everything He is the authority. He's the one that tells, you know why people hate the Bible? Because it's truth. And so we'll say, well, I want to live my life the way I want to, and I'm not going to listen to the Bible. So here's what happens in this scripture. Number one, His authority is challenged. In verse 1 and 2, His authority is challenged. They said, it came to pass that one of those days, he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. The chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. So all the religious crowd came. They said, okay, we're going to nail him now.
Right.
And they said, tell us by what authority doest thou these things? They're basically saying, who do you think you are to come into our church and do what you want to do? Because this ain't how we do stuff around here. Right? There's a lot of Baptists that way. God, you don't come in here and send revival. We don't like it that way. We want to have three songs and a poem for Jesus and get on out of here before the Methodists get out and we can go eat down at the restaurant. Now, don't mess up the worship hour.
Come on. That's good.
Now, if you want to meet with that crowd on Sunday night, I'm not going to be here for that. So you go ahead and do that. But Sunday morning, we got to get out early.
Right. Tell
it.
Preach on.
Am I still on? God, we're going to confine you in this box how we want you. But do not mess up my rights and what I think and what I can do. That's what they were saying, was it not? Well, why did that come about? First of all, notice the conceit. In other words, these men should have known, because they were religious leaders, and they knew the Old Testament, but in their conceit, they elevated themselves as the authority. Now, you look and say, it's my life, I'll do what I want to with it, and you don't have the right preacher. Mom and Dad, you don't have the right. Nobody has the right to tell me what to do. You can do that if you want to. But what you going to do with the consequences? God gives you free will. You want to go out and mess your life up? Have at it. But don't stick your finger up when God sends chastisement. When God gives you the consequences of your sin, and say, God, what gives you the authority or the right to do this to me? That's conceit. That's arrogance. That's pride. Right? That's what this whole humanistic mindset, this secularism, nobody tells me and I'll have my own truth and I'll decide what I want to be and who can tell me what it is. I'll tell you who it is, the one that created it all, God Himself. He made you like this and He made you like that. You have no right to tell God what you're going to be. Amen, hallelujah. Preacher, you're going to get canceled. Cancel me up. Amen. Cancel me up. But don't try to silence me telling me, oh, well, you don't have the right to say this. I sure do. Why? Because it's right there. In my opinion, you may be right. I don't have the right. But when it's right there, I'm going to say it. Hallelujah. So they were questioning the Lord out of their own conceit. He said, by what authority? Who do you think you are to tell us? I tell you who He is. He's the one that took you from a piece of dirt, fashioned you, breathed life into your body. That's exactly who He is. The conceit, but then the credentials, they were questioning His credit. In other words, He is the creator, the author, the fulfillment of the law. He has all the credentials to have the authority. You say, well, I want to rule my own life because I'm who I am and I get to determine what I get to do. It's my life. Let me ask something. Where'd you get your life? Well, Miss Ashley's going this week. Brother Ian said he's ready. They're going to have a baby. Well, that baby didn't just show up. There wasn't no stork drop that baby off. It is the product of their love and affection for one another that God gave them a child, right? But they didn't just create the child in the lab. God gave them that child. Mom, Dad, the Bible said that you look in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about lending children to you. They're not yours. Right? They're my child. I'll do what I want to. You will and you'll give an account for it. God gave you that kid. Now you ought to raise them in the admonition of the Lord. So when we look at this thing, the credentials, God's saying, Jesus is saying this. He said, I got all the credentials. By what authority? I am the authority. Right? You know what? People say this. They'll say, well, I'm the boss. You do what I say. I'm the boss. I'm the leader. If you got to say that, you really aren't. I hear pastors all the time, I'm the pastor. Not if you got to do that, you're not. Let me tell you how you know if you're a leader. People follow. People follow Jesus. So the credentials, then the condemnation. They did not ask for understanding. People say, is it a sin to question God? Depends. If you're wanting knowledge and to understand God, right? But if you're questioning God because you don't like what He's doing, that's what they were doing.
Right.
Number two is His authority is contemplated. So, first of all, His authority is challenged. We do that, don't we? But then they start getting spiritual and scientific. Verse 5, they reasoned with themselves.
Right.
Jesus posed this question. He said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or men?
Right.
He was turning the tables. Isn't that what God does? Now, God, what gives you the right? What gives you the right?
Right.
Speck of dirt that I breathe life into.
Right.
What gives you the right, speck of dirt, that I could snuff your life out like that?
Right.
What gives you the right with everything that you have? I've given every bit of it to you. What gives you the right to question me about that child that I gave to you? What gives you the right to question me about that job I gave to you? What gives you the right to question me about the health I let you have? Am I making sense now?
Yes, sir.
We all do it, Brother Matt. Let's be honest. We all getting with God, I don't understand. This isn't fair. You're right, it isn't fair. We ought to all be in hell this morning. So his authority contemplated, the Bible said they reasoned it with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he'll say, why then believe ye him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John be a prophet. So they're trying to play both sides of the fence, weren't they? They said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Was it spiritual or secular? Was it religious or was it of God? Was it what y'all do or what I do? That's what he's saying. And so their dilemma was this, of God or of man. Now listen to me. That's the dilemma we face today. Is it of God or of man? Well, let me say this. Their dilemma is our dilemma. If all this that we're doing is of man, let's just quit. I mean, what's the point of me coming here? What's the point in me giving 21 years of my life to get up 3 or 4 times a week and tell you a message that is not true?
Come on, you're right.
Brother Charles, I could do in a secular point of view, I could do more with my time doing something else. But I could go back into business. But see, if it is true, I mean, let's be honest. If this is just a man-made thing, well, let's just go to church 30 minutes a week and, you know, say we did our duty. That's what a lot of people do. That's where a lot of... I did my time card at church. I ain't got to go back for whenever. See, if it ain't real to you, it's man-made. And I think we're going to see in days to come, Brother Matt, whether it's real or not with people. See, up until now, it's been pretty easy to be a Christian. Oh, not where I work. They'll make fun of you. Anybody ever sawed you in half?
That's right.
Because you look at those old martyrs, you know what happened? They were cut in half.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about sawed right up the middle. Burned at the stake. Ever happened to you at work? You with me?
Yes,
see, the dilemma is you've got to decide. You say, well, I don't like Jesus' way and the Bible's way of getting to heaven. I want to do it my own way. Here's what people say. They'll say, well, I think my good will outweigh my bad. Well, you think wrong.
Right.
You say, well, I'm a pretty good person compared to who?
Yeah. Right.
So the dilemma is our dilemma. Will I believe God or man? Will I believe my emotions? Or will I believe the Word of God? Will I submit or will I resist? Then it's their discernment. They were given light. See, they knew the Old Testament, right? Where much is given, much is required. You're sitting in a church this morning that's preaching the Bible. Many of you grew up in a Christian home. You live in a part of the country where the gospel is on every corner. Listen to me. If you're here today, listen close. You have absolutely no excuse to die and go to hell. You will not stand before Jesus Christ and say, I never heard the gospel. You'll not stand before Jesus Christ and say, well, old preacher so-and-so was a hypocrite. He ran off with the piano player, the secretary, and that got me out of church, and I just hated religion. Then you don't know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has never done anything to you.
Amen.
And that's what this is all about. See, the discernment of these men, they had light. They knew the Old Testament. They were religious leaders. They should have known Jesus Christ, and you should know Him today.
Amen.
Then is their condemnation. Notice this. Their goal was to condemn Christ, but they would be condemned.
Right.
They were trying to make Jesus look bad. Jesus said, listen, you ain't going to make me look bad. I am the authority.
Amen.
By what authority? He said, I'm the authority. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Amen? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot come to Christ until you recognize He's the only way. And then number 3 is His authority is confirmed. So they said, all right. They could not tell in verse 7 whence it was. He posed the question, by what authority? They posed to him, by what authority? He said, let me ask you a question. John's baptism, was it spiritual or secular? Was it of man or of God? Right? Let me ask this. Is what you got that you're banking your eternity on, is it of God or is it of you? Is it of God or is it of man? So, verse 8, he said, Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. He flipped the script on them, said, all right, you want me to answer some questions? You answer some questions. And they said, we can't answer it. He said, then I'm not either. You can't. See, when we start elevating ourselves to where we're basically saying, now listen, God, I'm not going to do this till you explain it to me. Listen, God, I'm not going to obey to you until you do some stuff for me. Okay? We're going to work this transaction out. I get something, you get something. That's where a lot of people are, Brother Paul. They're just like, God, we're on the same level here. Right? You're not going to tell me what I do. If your word benefits me, then I'll do it. But if not, I'm going to do what I want to do. Am I right? So we cherry pick out of the Bible. Oh, I like this one. Oh, I love this one. My grace is sufficient for thee. Read in context. Who's he writing to? But Matt, who's he writing to? What happened to Paul? Yeah, you suffering like Paul? Got a thorn in the flesh, thrown in prison, beaten to death. Is that you? Then don't claim that verse. Don't run around. All that I'm going through, your grace is sufficient. I had a rough day at work. My kids aren't acting right. I'm suffering for Jesus. But your grace is sufficient, Lord. Got quiet.
That's right.
We got this. Hey, we're reading in Job this morning. Now I know this is not going to be politically correct, but he told Job. He said, Job was whining about all that stuff. Listen up, men, in this toxic masculinity world we live in. You know what God told Job? He said, gird up your loins like a man. That's what he said. He said, pull your big boy britches up. Quit your whining. Serve God. That's what we need today. Preacher, you ought not say that. I didn't say it. He did. Gird up your loins like a man. He said his authority is confirmed. Why? By his position.
Right.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was before any of you and before me. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Creator. He's the Mighty God. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. Hey, listen, he is here before we got here, and he'll be here after we're gone. And then by his power. Over and over by his power, he proved his authority.
That's right.
The Red Sea was parted, Brother Harley, because of the power of God. Pentecost took place because of the power of God. Hey, Calvary, he said it is finished. Gave up the ghost, the power of God.
That's right.
Every time Elijah prayed, power of God.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
He don't have to explain anything to you and me. He's God.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
And here's what I'll leave you with. When you start questioning God, why me? I got rights and you can't take them away. And who is this and who are you to tell me this? If it's in this book, there's your authority. I don't care. It doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what your truth is. Doesn't matter your opinion. Doesn't matter my opinion. Right? This is what matters. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. His word is forever settled in heaven. Change it, ignore it, burn it. Tell God you don't like the way it's written. Forever settled.
Amen.
This morning,
amen.
If you're going to go to heaven,
good.
You've got to submit to His authority.
Right.
You've got to accept Him as Lord and Savior. You've got to understand that your goodness, your righteousness, your good works won't get you to heaven. You've got to understand that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you part of the all? I am. All means all. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So why do we have the right to go to heaven? Because He died in your place. He died for you and He died as you. He is the authority. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is salvation.
Good.
There's no other name by which man can be saved. They can't be saved. Him, Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord. Thou shalt be saved.
Right. Amen.
So this morning, you want your rights? You can have them. But one day you'll stand before the Lord Jesus. And the only thing that's going to matter first is what you've done with Him. Whether or not you've accepted Him as your Savior, whether or not. And if you're a born again Christian, then you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You'll say, well, it's my right to go to church. It's my right whether or not I want to read your Bible. It's my right to witness, not witness. It's my right. But you'll have nothing to cast at His feet.
That's right. Amen.
What gives you the right? Who gives you the right? If it's not God, we don't have a right.
That's right.
We don't have a right.
Yes, sir.
You say, what about my right to free speech? What about it? We looked at that a few weeks ago. We have inalienable rights, which means rights given to us by our Creator.
Yes.
Listen, those hypocrites in Washington don't give me any rights.
That's right.
They're supposed to protect the rights I've already got. They don't give me the rights.
Amen.
Our rights come from God.
Amen.
So this morning, what are you going to do with God? That's all that matters. What will you do with Christ?
Yes.
Let's stand together.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads.
Amen.
Miss Susan, come to the piano. This morning, I want to ask you, first of all, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? What have you done with Christ? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? If not, no one's looking around. I promise you this. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. I want to pray for you. If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? If not, do this. Slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? If I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven today. Would you pray for me? Is there one? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there another? If I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me, preacher? Is there another? Maybe this morning you'll come and say, you know what, preacher, you're right. I'm more worried about my rights than serving God. God spoke to my heart this morning. Maybe you need to pray for someone. Father, thank you for the precious soul that raised their hand. There may be others that didn't raise their hand, but in their heart, they're not sure where they'd spend eternity. On this invitation time, give them the courage to step out so we can show them how they can be saved. Thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Let's keep our heads bowed. Listen, if you raised your hand this morning or you did not, you want to know how you can be sure you'll spend eternity in heaven. Will you do this? Will you come? You say, I didn't raise my hand, but I'm not sure. You come. I raised my hand. I'd like to know. You come. You come. The value of one. You're important this morning. You're important. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. You come. These are praying. She's playing. you mind God? Would you do it? Listen. Today's the day. God's speaking to your heart. Move today. Move today. Well, I'll wait till next week. No, today. Today. Right now. Right now. Father, thank you for being so good to us, and thank you for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, what you've done in our service. I pray for that one that raised their hand, others that didn't, but they know in their heart something's wrong. Before they leave here, maybe they would get someone and say, please show me how I can know where I'll spend eternity. Thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.